presence. The Bible instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those who will represent us. We encourage you to study the Bible to see what God says about elected officials and study where the candidates stand on those issues. We will have voter guides available soon to assist you in this matter, so stay tuned.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
Today we're continuing our sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government. And we're doing this because we are in a country where we have not only the right, but also the responsibility to vote. And the Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in authority, the people groan. And that is from Proverbs 29:2. So since we live in a country where we have an actual responsibility to vote, it's important that we are voting for righteous people to be in office. It's important that we know what the Bible says about how government should act and what types of laws and ordinances governments should pass, and also that we actually are voting for candidates who stand for those values. Now, you're not going to find a perfect candidate, but we need to actually look for the ones that are most closely aligned with the principles of the Word of God. And when we find a candidate and we vote for them, we also need to hold them accountable to follow the principles of God's Word. If they get into office and do something different, if they do something that is in violation of God's commandments, we need to actually come and we need to hold them accountable to do what is right. And this is actually our fourth Sunday preaching on this topic. And we have, in doing so, we've actually looked at biblical principles and also quoted from the founding fathers. And we've quoted from the founding fathers not because they valid or not because they make the Bible more true, but it just shows you the mentality that they had and how they actually supported the Word of God and actually applied biblical principles and really believed that Christians should be in office and that we should be actually voting for Christian people to be in office. Some of the issues that we've talked about is that rulers must recognize God as our creator. This is really where it all starts. If we believe God's our creator, we actually will believe that he has a law and that we're subject to his law. If we don't believe that he is our creator, then we can believe that we can do whatever we want to do. And really, we see people doing that today. Rulers must read God's law and fear and obey God. This is right from Scripture. We also see that rulers must rule justly. Judges must rule justly. We also went over honoring God. It's important for rulers to honor God. We also went over that rulers must defend innocent human life. And this is vitally important. The protection of innocent human life, it's in the Declaration of Independence. It's in the Constitution. Of course, it comes from the Bible. We're created in God's image. And for this purpose, for this reason, we need to, our lives need to be protected. Rulers must defend marriage between one man and one woman. Also, rulers must defend boys and girls from mutilation. And today, we're going to turn to some new topics, and we're going to also quote again from the Founding Fathers. Robert Winthrop, former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, said, "Men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. You see this in the Bible if you look in the book of Judges. When the children of Israel were following God, they were blessed. And yet in that blessing, they a lot of times became complacent, became apathetic, and then stopped pressing into God and stopped obeying God. And that led to disobedience. And then that disobedience led to God's judgment. Very often, oppressors ruling over them. And so it's very important that we realize that either we can self-govern by reading the Bible and applying biblical principles to our lives, and if the majority of the nation are doing that, then we actually will be in a much better place in this nation. Otherwise, if we are doing whatever we want to do in violation of God's commandments, then God will raise up tyrants to rule over us, to keep us in check, so that we are not actually committing more iniquity. Think about that. When you see a tyrannical person in office, very often you'll see it's because the people were wicked and God raised up that tyrant to actually suppress their wickedness. You also see Richard Henry Lee. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. It is certainly true that a popular government cannot flourish without virtue in the people. Jedediah Morse, he was a patriot and the father of American geography, said this: "To the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys. Whenever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present republican form of government and all blessings which flow from them must fall with them." And so it's important for us to realize that our blessings come from God, our blessings and even our freedom and our liberty. There are people in this country that want freedom and liberty apart from God. And freedom and liberty don't come apart from God. Bondage and oppression comes apart from God. So we need to press in and actually apply biblical principles to our lives and also to our government as well. So our first topic that we're going to talk about today is that rulers must return the law of God, the Bible, prayer, and creation science to schools. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of verse 6, "And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." And so parents, it's important, even grandparents, it's important that you actually apply biblical principles and that you are looking constantly for opportunities to share with your children and your grandchildren the truth of God's word and actually bring them to a place of obedience to that word. And when we send them to schools, it's important that those schools are educating them in accordance with God's word. And you may say, well, hey, wait a minute, what about the separation of church and state? And didn't the U.S. Supreme Court rule that the Bible and prayer should be removed from schools? And didn't we remove creation teaching from schools? And certainly we have, and the Supreme Court did rule that. But that Supreme Court ruling was contradictory to the views of the founding fathers and what was actually happening in the founding era. In the founding era, the number one reading book in school was the Bible. And another prominent reading book was the New England Primer, which actually taught biblical principles. It had a rhyming alphabet. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. And it goes on, and every letter teaches a biblical principle. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said this: the only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in religion. Without this, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object and life of all republican governments. James McHenry, he was a signer of the Constitution, said this: public utility pleads most forcibly for the general distribution of the Holy Scriptures, the doctrines they preach, the obligations they impose, the punishments they threaten, the rewards they promise, the stamps and image of divinity they bear, which produce a conviction of the truth alone, can alone secure to society order and peace, and to our courts of justice and constitutions of governments, purity, stability, and usefulness. In vain, without the Bible, we increase penal laws and draw entrenchments around our institutions. Bibles are strong entrenchments. Where they abound, men cannot pursue wicked courses and at the same time enjoy quiet conscience. We also see that rulers must live within their means. This is huge today. What does this mean? Well, it means not spending more than what you have. And Congress doesn't seem to get a handle on this. And part of that is because really there's some entitlements that were passed years ago that worked when we had more people working than people receiving those entitlements. And yet today more people are receiving them because we don't have as many children. Americans haven't had as many children as they have in the past. So there's much fewer people actually paying into the system and much more people actually receiving money from that system. And then there's also the discretionary spending, which is just out of hand. But when we look in the Bible, we see in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 9 through 18. We're not going to read that, but I'm going to reference it here. That's when God warned the children of Israel what would happen if they had a king. And the consequence, one of the consequences if they had a king, is that the king would take one-tenth of their income and he would use it for himself. And you see there that God defines tyranny as 10%. Any government that requires as much as God requires is a tyrannical government. We also look at the sixth commandment, the eighth commandment, and the tenth commandment. So the sixth commandment is thou shalt not kill. And when the government actually takes money from you, they're taking, it took a portion of your life to earn that money. And so that money is actually a portion of your life, and it's killing a portion of your life. Also stealing. You know, if you or me or someone else were to go up to someone at an ATM and rob them and take their money, and we were to even take that and maybe give it to someone who's on the side of the road, who's homeless and holding a sign that says, you know, I'm homeless, I need help. If we were to give that money to that person, we would very likely be caught and arrested for stealing, and we would go to jail. But if the government does the same thing, it's considered okay. It's considered taxation. The government can take money from the rich, and there's even a whole political philosophy that is built on taking money from the rich, and the rich are the oppressors, and really coveting which, what is the 10th commandment? You shall not covet your what your neighbor has. So we shouldn't covet what Elon Musk has or Mark Zuckerberg has or Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates, any of those famous people, any of those people that are rich that have a lot of money. We shouldn't covet what they have. We live in a country where people actually come over here for the ability to earn money. People come over here and sometimes they live two or three families in one house and they actually work hard, sometimes working two jobs. And within 5 to 10 years, they actually own their own business and have their own house and they're productive. And yet there are people that live here in this country that are just focused on what other people have rather than doing what they need to do to actually succeed and to be prosperous. And I mentioned earlier that God warned the children of Israel that if they had a king, that he would take a tenth of all they had. Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac wrote this: it would be a hard government that should tax its people one-tenth part of their income. Now, imagine that. At the founding of this country, it was considered absurd that someone would actually pay one-tenth amount in taxes. So just think about all that people pay in taxes today. Certainly, there are some people that actually receive more from the government than they actually give into the government. And that is actually wrong. The government shouldn't be involved in charity. Really, you don't see that in the Bible. God allowing the government to be involved in charity. People should work hard. And families should take care of each other. And then there's also Christian charity where we show charity to one another. But there's no provision in the Bible for the government to be involved in charity. But just think about those that do pay taxes. I mean, the lowest federal income tax rate is 10%. And then on top of that, you actually have payroll taxes, which totals about 15%. And many people have, in some states, there's state income tax. In some cities, there's city income tax. We pay sales tax. If you have a phone, you pay taxes to a whole bunch of different entities on that phone bill. I was looking at a phone bill the other day for one organization, and they were paying about 30% tax, 30 to 35% tax on their services that they were receiving for this phone bill. And so you just really need to realize that there's a lot of taxes. When you look at your electric bill, if you have cable TV or another streaming service, you're going to pay taxes on that. And by the way, those taxes are going to go quite often to local government, state government, federal government. You're going to have all kinds of different taxes on there. In the state of Florida, we have property tax, although there's an amendment that may change that for some people. That'll be on the ballot in November. We'll talk more about that as it comes closer, as that time comes closer. But when we look at property tax, look at your property tax bill and see how many different entities are on there. I mean, we're giving money to all kinds of different entities on there. And even if you have city water and sewer, it's not technically a tax, but since the government makes money on it, really it is a tax. And so, you know, there's all these types of taxes. You have to have a driver's license. That's a tax. You have to have a license plate on your car. That's a tax. If you bring your car into this country or into this state from another state, you're going to really pay. You register for a vehicle the first time, boy, they sock it to you. Why? Because they figure, well, you're just coming into the state and you can't vote them out. And by the time you get where you can vote them out, well, you might have forgotten. Or you're just such a small portion of the population because so many people actually are in that situation. You know, most of the people aren't paying that tax, so they're not going to be upset about that. You know, even the property tax, there are differences based on when you bought your home, based on what the value of it was when you bought your home. And you can literally have people living next door, one person paying $1,000 a year, the other person paying $5,000 or $6,000 a year for a very similar value in a home. If we could only pay 10%, most people in America would rejoice that we are only paying 10%. And so we need to actually reduce spending. And what does that mean? Well, it means also that we need to actually be willing to not ask from the government so much. We should actually be asking for the government to do less, not more. And we should be calling upon the government to do less and not more. Certainly, there are certain things that the government needs to do. And we can look at the Bible and see what God has authorized for the government to do. And really, when you look at that, you're looking at national defense. You're looking at criminal justice. Certainly, you also see infrastructure, roads, and sewer systems and things like that, water and sewer, things like that. But most of the things that the government does for us, they have no right, no business doing, and we need to get them out of the business of that. And actually, some forms of taxes, we'll talk more about this when we talk about the property tax, but some forms of taxes are even totally unjust and need to be totally abolished, and property tax is one of those. So when we look again at further biblical principles, we see rulers must stay within their delegated authorities and provide checks and balances to others. The founding fathers, when they actually created the form of government that we have with the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, they did so based on Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. And so they actually realized that people are wicked and we need to have checks and balances. You know, God can be our judge, he can be our lawgiver, he can be our king, but they didn't want for all the power to be in one person's hands. So they developed this method of having checks and balances so that the executive could check the legislative and the legislative could check the executive, and both of those could check the judicial and the judicial could check both of those as well. And you would have this actually checks and balances. But today what happens is quite often we actually have forms of government just acquiescing and laying down and allowing another form of government to do whatever they want to do. We need to actually have checks and balances, and rulers must stay within their delegated authority. When we talk about delegated authority, we're talking about really actually returning things to that biblical principle of only doing, and the constitutional principle of only doing what you're authorized to do. Most of the things that the federal government does, it has no constitutional right to do. We'll talk about that in just a minute. The founding fathers actually looked at Exodus chapter 28 when we talk about limited government, because the government should be limited. We shouldn't have the government taking care of everything for you. When we look at They looked at the Jethro principle in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place them over thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. The founders looked at this and they said, we need to have local, state, and federal government. Whatever the local government can do, that's what it should do. And whatever it can't do, then the state can do what the local government can't do. And then whatever the state can't do, that's what the federal government should do. And really, that's all it should do. It shouldn't be doing what the state can take care of, and the state shouldn't be doing what the county can take care of. We also see in the Constitution, Amendment 10, the 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States of by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And of course, we the people make up the government here in this nation. And so we need to return to this level where we hold the federal government accountable to the principles that are laid out in the Bible of limited government, the principles that are laid out in Exodus chapter 18, the principles that are laid out in the Constitution, that the federal government shouldn't be doing all this, all the things that they are doing, that they have no constitutional right. By the way, if you doubt this, read the Constitution, just read it, and tell me where they have the right to do most of what they do. It's not there. And without a constitutional amendment, they don't have the right to do those things. And so we need to actually hold our elected officials accountable. If they won't check each other, we need to check them and require that they will provide checks and balances to one another. Father, we do come before you and we thank you, Father, for you this day. And we pray, Father, that you would help us in this nation to return to biblical principles. Help us to apply biblical principles to our lives, our families, our churches, our cities, our states, and our nation, Father. Help us, Father, to return to the place where we follow you as a nation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that you would help us to study your word, to see what you say about government, and to apply that to government, and also to study where the candidates stand on the issues that you speak to, and help us to vote for the candidates that most closely represent those principles, Father. We pray for righteous men and women to rule in this land, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The Bible instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those who will represent us. We encourage you to study the Bible to see what God says about elected officials and study where the candidates stand on those issues. We will have voter guides available soon to assist you in this matter, so stay tuned.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at borntowin.net.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can only win with a total and unconditional obedience to God as he's revealed in the Word of God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.